Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh, yeah. Anybody that knows this song, most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Yeah.
Okay. We are on.
All right. Hey. That's loosely. You there? Good time tonight, relaxing, you know, long weekend. They have that famous American holiday, you know. When they had independence, from England, you know. So they celebrated big time, you know. They had independence from England. They came and started slaughtering our people, you know. So they have a big old celebration and all that, days off and everything. So, but, you know, we can take advantage of it, too. You know, we can call it what we want. We can call it hot dog day, grill hamburger day. You know, we got our own ways of taking advantage of their baloney that they did, you know. But anyway, welcome to the American Indian Movement radio show. Also, and this is sponsored by AIM-CTX. And I'd like to say one thing, you know, before we go any further, because we always have technical problems. This is internet radio. Sometimes things don't work out the way we want them to, but keep in mind, we're Indians. You know, we're Native Americans living in modern times. You know, our life has come from thousands and thousands and thousands of years from the spirits of our ancestors. We all carry that in our blood. So all this modern technology, we're taking advantage of it. But of course, like everything else, it's the Washichu toys. And the Washichu toys are a lot of times not meant for us. So we try our best to take advantage of everything, you know, that they have. And you hear me always talk about, I don't like us to participate in the American way of life. I'm talking about voting and, you know, giving them credence to what they did and what they do. But I'm all for us going to school, us working, us learning, us doing the best we can to live in modern times. We can do that without giving credence to the Americans, because the rest of the world lives that way too. They're not giving the Americans credence, you know. Everybody's using the internet. Everybody's driving cars. Everybody's using the microwave. Everybody's using the television and everything else. So we're doing it too. It doesn't mean we're supporting their way of life. We're just getting in the way of their life because we're still here. You know, we're still here. No matter what they try to do to us, stomp us, kill us, murder us, use genocide against us, germ warfare, bacteria warfare, they did it all to us, everything. But we're no weaker than before, you know. We're not weaker, we're just as strong. And right now, we're doing this show on the wings. You know, the co-host is running the board, and I hope to be situated here real shortly. In the meantime, we're just going to roll. I don't know if anybody calls in, if Dave calls in. You know, I'm sure she could put him in and put him on and everything. A lot of people have things to do, and there's other activities that's going on right now for our people. So some aren't available to talk, but many are listening and tuned in tonight. I know that for a fact. That's why I didn't want to call it off. You know, like the Washichu say, there's always more than one way to skin a cat. So that's what we're doing tonight. And once again, I want to thank the American Indian Movement for us being here and for us being free to be as we want, to be as we are, to walk in traditional manners and spiritual manners. And we have to thank the American Indian Movement for that and all the struggle they did for us. They struggled a lot for us And in September, we'll be having a celebration for that, for the birthday for American Indian Movement. And so a lot of the, Frank Parra was asking, make sure all the AIM chapter leaders or a rep from the chapter show up to Minneapolis, and hope you can do that, you know. And we have to remember Leonard Peltier's still in there. We have to keep that issue going, so they, you know, it's important right now, more important than ever, because we have to think about what he's doing this minute. He's still in a cell. He's still locked up. But he's 40 years older. 41 years older. You know? And that's a long time. And he's still there. You know? So we have to think of that. And in our own ways, maybe we could all pray and have them pick a day, a time, every day, and pray. And maybe we should all do it, have a hour of prayer or a minute of prayer. Let's call it a minute of prayer sometime. Maybe we can do it right this minute and say a prayer for Leonard and our other bros that are locked up. There's a whole lot of them locked up for stuff they didn't do or things they admitted to. Just because, you know, our people do that. You know, we don't like all the baloney, so we just, yeah, go ahead, all right, I'll cop out to it, you know. And we do that. We plead guilty to stuff we didn't do, you know. There's so many of our people locked up for that. And then there's a lot of our people locked up because our own people locked them up, you know, lied about them and stuff. That was another thing we was talking about. I was talking about with people how bad it is that our people turncoat on each other. They get mad at each other and do anything. One guy told me one time, he said, you know, if somebody crosses me, he said, I will do anything to get them. And I thought about that. I said, wow, this guy says he will do anything. And anything means anything. He will rat. He will sell his ass. He will do anything. I told him, you know what? I won't do anything. You know? Because there's a whole lot of things I won't do. And no matter what, for money or anything, I won't do anything. You know? I mean, even if you got me in a bad situation, I'm not going to do anything. You know, we can't go that far to start doing anything, you know? Our people need to have their dignity, you know? And we have to praise the dignity we have. And I hope that I don't lose you. If I do, I'm sure it'll be covered. You might hear some more music, but I'll be back with you no matter what. And I hope that everybody's doing right. She should have the number up there, and you can call in. Anybody can call in. We could talk about Leonard Peltier. If you want to talk about the American system, what's going on right now, because a lot of things affect our people. One thing everybody's worried about is Donald Trump, but I'm worried the same with Hillary Clinton, you know? They need to clean house there. They need a whole new group of people. They're not doing nothing for the Indians. None of them do. They do little bitty things, you know. like I heard them saying that about fishing rights for the Oregon Indians, the water rights, making a deal for the water for the Indians in Oregon. And a lot of tribes are really humble, and they accept anything. They're a little bit too humble, you know. They're okay, yeah, all right, well that's good, you know. And they're allowing Indians, they're giving them the right to go up Mount Rainier and pick plants for traditional reasons. See, we got to ask the Washitu for anything. Things that we did normally since the beginning of time, we have to ask them now, can we pick that plant? Can we do this? Can we do that? You know, we got to ask them for anything and everything. And it's sad that we have to do that. But we're the cause of it. You know? We don't have to be so humble and meek to them. You know, we tell them, you know what? That's our plants. We're going to get them. You stay the hell out of our way. You know, we got to do it. We got to somehow work together, all of us, and quit working with the American system, because that's what the American system is doing to us. The American system is making us beg to them, you know. We don't need to beg to them, you know. Why should we beg to them? We need to get together. I hear people saying this. Why don't we all unite and get together? Yeah. We should, but how do we do this? You know, I told somebody, unity is meant for only the people whose mind and heart's into unity. Most people only call it unity if you do it their way. A Christian Indian will call it unity if we turn Christian. A BIA Indian, assimilated Indian, will call it unity if we join him and say the Red Sox is all good. You know, I'm not the Red Sox. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the mascot issue. You know, the Redskins. You know, the Redskins and the Chiefs and all that. You know, the BIA Indian, the BIA Indian, the BIA Indian wants us to join them. You know, and if we join them, then that's unity. But if we ask people to join us, they say we're troublemakers. They ain't joining us. They say we're going back in time. So as long as they keep thinking they're going forward in time, we're getting further away from reality. We're getting further away from the culture and the traditions and all that. And I hope people understand what I mean by that and what we all mean by that. You know, there was a time when the Native American was pure. We didn't even know that we could kill another human. We didn't even know that until the Washitu came and started killing the Indians, you know. And we said, wow, you know. I mean, there's so many things that are new to our people, you know. We have this certain character about us that we have such shame to do certain things, so we never did them, you know. And other cultures do them all the time, you know. The reason why our blood is strong is because we didn't inbreed, you know. We didn't inbreed. We have strong blood. Our people, you can see it even in interracial relationships when they have children. The children are, it shows the blood we have. It's strong. You know, so we need to preserve this. If we go the BIA Indian way or the Christian way, we're not going to preserve this. We're going to leave it behind. And we're going to join them. And when you join them, when you join the American, when you join the killer Christian, when you join them, we may die and our kids are stuck living the way because we joined them. So our kids become Christian. Our kids become American. They leave it all behind. And then one day, America is going to answer for all their sins. So because we joined them, we're going to answer with them. Now, how stupid is that? We're going to have to pay for what they did. You know? Some other country or some big power comes and America falls and caves in, and somebody comes over and says, well, you Indians are with them, so you're gone too. Well, I'm telling the world right now, I'm with my people, and I'm with our animal relatives. I'm with our plants and our trees. That's how I am. You know, and I think unity belongs there. Unity belongs with our people, not with them. You know, I hope that people know that. And that's what the American Indian Movement brought to us. They said unity, and they brought unity. They brought all the people from all different tribes together to walk together and sing together. They did that, the American Indian Movement, and nobody else ever did that because, like I said, we have the BIA Indian. We have the Christian Indian. You know, the people that fly the American flags, you know. I went to Little Bighorn last week. They had a big celebration, the Crows, at Little Bighorn. Man, they had powwows, all kinds of stuff going on. They was acting like they were the ones who beat Custer. You know? But I seen all the American flags, too. You know? So who were they celebrating? Were they celebrating, is it a memorial for Custer? If they're flying all the flags, there must be a memorial for Custer they're having. You know? When our people took the flag or defeated them, that means, you know, we shouldn't be flying no flag. You know? We shouldn't be flying all these flags at our Sundances, at the powwows and stuff. But some people are so sick in the mind, they say, yeah, we're supposed to fly that flag because we took it. We didn't take all those flags. There was only one flag they took. That's the only flag you fly. Now, if you give me a gift to honor, or you give me a flag, or you give me a chanupa or something, that's only for me. You know, I don't make duplicates of it and give it to everybody and tell them, oh, yeah, this gift comes from him, you know. So everybody's got this gift that comes from him. Well, I'm the only one got that gift. It's like the white buffalo cap pipe. That's the only one there is. You know, that flag they took at Little Bighorn, there was only one of them they took. they didn't take a million flags. You see, I asked one medicine man, he was flying all these flags at his Sundance. I said, damn, looks like Fort Knox here, man. What's going on? And he said, well, we took the flag at Little Bighorn. That's why we're flying that flag. I said, well, where's that flag at? I don't see it up there. He said, well, these represent that flag. I said, man, you're crazy. You're crazy. That flag represents the U.S. government, you know? So, anyway, he got kind of mad at me and don't really talk to me, but he got over it. He still calls me Tahashi, but he don't want to get into no debate with me because of that, you know? So, that's what I think about it. Like, right now, they're having this big Independence Day, so, there's flags all over the place. You probably see them. If you live on the res, you're probably going to see flags. Flags galore. They probably got even a powwows celebrating 4th of July, Independence Day for the Washichu. You know? Like I said, enjoy the holiday. Fry up some burgers and some, you know, cook, enjoy, feast. But just take advantage of it. But I don't think we got no business celebrating for them or him I don't know what people think, but I feel bad when our people come up with excuses for doing that stuff. You know, well, my dad fought the Germans. And he was killing Germans, so that's why I fly that flag. I say, that flag, it don't matter. Just because your dad did that, it don't make that flag any better. It don't make that flag any better because my dad was in Korea. It don't make that flag any better because my uncle was killed in Korea. You know? It doesn't make it no better. And when somebody brings it to your attention, you get all offended. You know, our veterans that I honor, most of them are gone and dead to the spirit world with our ancestors. But the other ones that are alive, Wounded Knee, 1973, you know, those are the ones who did fight against the U.S. government in modern times. And they deserve honors. So I give that to them. And I won't fly no U.S. flag for them to honor them. I'll carry a staff. I'll make some tobacco ties. I will make some flags. And I will fly, use it for them, walk with the staff, you know, and feed the spirits. And pray for them, because a lot of our vets, 1973 vets, have a hard life. You know, of course, that was a long time ago, remember? So all these vets are way older, and there's a lot of age there, a lot of some even got sick and different things. And also, the supporters that showed up in 1973. The supporters, the whites, and the blacks, and other people that came and support. You know? So, we need, and today we have supporters. Right now, we have people listening to the radio show. They're supporters from all over the world. And I like to give them shouts out, you know. I know some people that tune in no matter what. Like in Germany, it's like 4 or 5 in the morning. And there's some people tune in to us in Germany. And in in Russia, it's like 8 o'clock in the morning. There's people tuned in. I don't know what time it is in New Zealand and all that, in New Delhi, but there's people tuned in to us over there. Way in the heck over there, right close to the international date line. And so we have listeners from all over, and from Australia. And sometimes people call in from these far off places, and I welcome them when they come, when they call, because we need these supporters. These supporters help us out. A lot of them even donate to our tribe in the for in the winter time for heat and all that, you know. And I like that. So he are sending us stuff and things like that. But what kept us alive is being Native, being traditional, maintaining our spirituality. And that's what I thank the American Indian Movement for so much. I don't know if we have anybody on the line. If somebody's on the line and you want to open up a line and let me know who they are, we can see. Is there anybody on the line? Well, who is this? If somebody's on, let's hear what you feel, what you think. I can't tell. But anyway, you know, it's been a pretty, busy week for a lot of people. And like I said, there's many things going on and throughout. Like, there are powwows and things that they're having normally. And believe me, they're not celebrating Independence Day. There's powwows, and then there's sun dances. A lot of sun dances going on, and it's prayer time. So I like to thank everybody that's out there praying and humblets, especially in Bear Butte. We need to preserve that, because Bear Butte is always under attack. You know, these Washichu are putting bars up and making lots of money off the beauty of our lands. But they, you know, they make money off the beauty. You think they would want to preserve the beauty, but they're doing worse and worse and worse and worse. You know, they're just doing worse and worse and worse. Like they really don't care about it, you know. If we let them keep going, there's going to be bars all the way around Bear Butte, you know. And if we assimilate enough, maybe we'll be allowing them to have parties up there or something. So is anybody on the line that wants to participate? Go ahead.
Sure.
Well, let's hear it.
Am I the only one talking?
No, I'm talking. You ain't even talking yet. You're just asking the questions. You know, I'm just, you know, Just give me your opinion. What are you thinking? It doesn't matter. Let's talk about this then, since you mentioned that. That's a good point you mentioned. You know, there's a lot of people, you know, we have sweat lodges. And you tell somebody, hey, let's go to the sweat lodge. We're having sweat lodge. You going to come? And they'll say, who's going to be there? You know? People want to know who's going to be there before they go to a sweat lodge, you know?
Wow.
That's the, you know? And so who is this?
This is Sherry.
Sherry? From where?
Yes.
California?
Yep.
Okay. So does it make you feel funny? Because if you're the only one talking.
Yeah, but
you're all
right. I'll get over
you're
it.
You're all right. Yeah, get over it. Just, what part of California? Sacramento?
Yep. A little above it, Roseville, but that's the general area.
I know where Roseville's at. Believe
yeah.
me, I lived in North Highlands, I lived in Citrus Heights, you know, I'm pretty familiar. I used to go duck hunting up that way, you know. Sacramento's, I used to like the American River and the Sacramento River. I remember after it rained, those ponds would get full and they have lots of steelhead. We used to, you know. Man, nice. You know, and I still got family there in Sacramento. So, what brings you to the radio show?
Well, I'm trying to learn
here.
And get involved. And, I'm sorry?
You're trying to do what?
To learn. And
oh,
to get
okay.
involved. Yeah.
Good.
And recently I decided, because I want to help tribes nearby and go into environmental resource, I'd like to go for my law degree.
Oh, really?
Yep. It's the only way I feel I can help.
You can help if you do that. You know?
Well, that's what I intend to do. I'm working on it.
yeah, because, you know, so you're going to take in law classes now?
Well, I'm trying to get in the next week or so. And start classes in September and go for 4 years.
Yeah,
and,
4 years isn't long. I'm sure you're young
yeah.
enough to do it.
I'm 50.
Well,
I'm no spring
young.
Chicken.
You're still a pup. You're still a young
yeah,
pup.
I'm still
you
young
know?
Enough to be excited.
And you can do it. You know,
I
went to law school, you know. I took it at college. I went to Bloomington and Ivy Tech and different colleges and took law classes, El Camino College, and then I went to Oglala Lakota College, and so I had quite a bit of law school. I didn't finish 4 years, and I didn't get a degree in it, but I went took I completed reservation law.
Oh.
So I was allowed to become a tribal, you know, like a public defender and stuff like that, and for the tribe. And it was pretty good. The main thing about the law that I wish all our people would really learn it, law is a way to defend ourselves from the government when they do things. Look like what they're doing to Leonard Peltier. I feel bad because I think that there's so many different strategies in law. And they're cutting a lot of people loose now.
Yeah.
They're cutting a lot of people loose because they're finding out they were innocent. And but why not Leonard? You know? You know, the law, I learned, I'll just tell you the truth, and I'll tell everybody the truth. I started learning law when I was in prison. And I started fighting my case because I was in, you know, and I fought my case by myself and started learning all the procedures, the way mm-hmm. to deal with it. You know what I mean? Learning the forms. And one thing that people have is the right to have access to the courts. And people don't use it. We all have a right to have access to the courts. Prisoners know that right, so they're always accessing the courts. You can access the courts even if you write on toilet paper. You know? It don't have to be no fancy professional thing. All you do
right.
is you can access the courts. And when the one thing you do, there's two things you do. One thing is you don't have money, indigent, like they say. So you can file a form of papyrus or something and get into court free. The other thing is if you can claim you're a layman at law and do it pro se. So you can go all the way into court and go into federal court. That's what I'm trying to get our people to do, is learn how to go to federal court. You know what I mean? Because most of us live on a reservation, and a lot of our laws that hold us back are federal laws.
Right.
So a lot of people say, okay, you live in California. Okay, you got to exhaust all the remedies mm-hmm. of California. You know, that's true mm-hmm. to a point, but yet here's the way through that. If you can prove that it is futile to pursue in California court, you can go right into federal court. And how do you prove that it would be futile? Well, usually it's pretty damn easy. Because if you're arguing a federal statute, like for Indian law, Indian rights, the state can't handle that. Only
right.
the feds have that jurisdiction. So that's why we can get into federal court. You know, there's a lot of things that we as Indians can do. And like you wanted to be an attorney, you know, I hope you do become an attorney. And I'm thankful that you listen to the radio show, because there's a lot of things you can learn from us that lawyers do not know. There's
right.
so much to learn about being an attorney. There's so much to learn about it. So, you know, which direction does somebody want to go? You know, that's why so many attorneys don't know how to fight Indian law, because they don't know nothing about it. So they'll try
right.
and, you know, I'll give you an example. Here's when you go to law school, what they teach you is in order for them to take you, incarcerate you, take your freedom away from you, they got to prove that you had criminal intent. Criminal
right.
intent is a big word in the legal system. Criminal intent. If
yeah.
you can't prove criminal intent, you can't, you know, a guy can take your car. If he didn't steal it and didn't have criminal intent, say he needed it to take his mom to the hospital real quick, you know, that's not criminal intent. Criminal intent is when, yeah, I'm going to steal this car and I'm going to steal the tire cement and, you know, and I'm not giving it back. That's criminal intent.
Right.
You know? Criminal, there's so many things in the law today that they lock you up and there's for not having criminal intent. And people don't fight this because they don't know that. You know? Criminal intent. Like they have the 15 Major Crimes Act that serve the Indian reservations. Our 14 Major Crimes Act. Forget. They might have added another one. But these Major Crimes Acts have to do with hurting an Indian. If you hurt a Indian, then you violate the Major Crimes Act. The Indian has to be a victim of a crime. Okay? So, what are these crimes? Murder? He's a victim. Rape? Thieving from him? Beating him? Maim? Anything that harms the Indian, that hurts him. But then there's laws now that they're locking Indians up where there's no Indian victim.
Mm.
And that's what I wish our people, our attorneys, smart attorneys would come and help fight for our people. You know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I might sound kind of silly here when I say even drugs. You know, you have to prove it's harming the Indian, that it's his choice to buy the drugs from you. That's his choice, you know? When people make their own choice to do something, then there's no criminal intent in dealing with them. You know what
right.
I mean? You can look at it as helping them out, you know? Just helping them out. They don't feel good, so they need some dope. <You know? laughs> I mean,
good.
Like I said, it's kind of, and people will disagree with me, but the point what I'm saying is they locked up a lot of Indians for selling pot on the res. There's Indians did 15 years for selling pot.
Mm-hmm.
And how is pot a crime against the Indian is my point. The other
right.
thing, and the women won't like this, is child support. You know, when a guy makes a baby, 9 times out of 10, he ain't doing it with criminal intent. You know? Where does the criminal intent come in? You know what I mean? Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Sorry. I can hear
you. Now, where does the criminal intent come in when you have a baby? So why
well,
does this guy...
You could say negligence.
Well, you can... You know, there's a lot of white words you can use to make him look bad, but none of them can be called criminal intent. Because negligence...
Okay.
Huh?
You mean on his behalf. I understand.
Yeah, I'm just playing attorney, okay? I'm a public defender, and I'm fighting for this Indian, okay? Now, prove to me there's criminal intent in what this guy did, you know? Don't think I agree that he's not paying for his kid. So, but I don't believe an Indian needs to be punished in the American system because he can't afford to pay for his kid.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's what it is. Most Indians can't afford to pay for their kid.
Right.
I have two band members in my band that can't get passports and have to pay a lot of money, and they do pay. But they could, if they were allowed to work or come perform and make money when we perform, they could, you know, pay off. And these guys do love their kids. Here's the thing. There's Indians locked up, and they love their kids. But they just don't have a job and the means to support their kid. Should they be punished for that?
No, they need
you
to
know?
Be with their friends and
you
family.
Know, there's got to be some kind of way to deal with them other than locking them up. And that's what they do. They lock these guys up for a year. Some of them get 1 year in jail. And they're vindictive. People say, yeah, they got it coming. Rah, rah, rah. But, you know, let's talk back about unity. You know, unity. Where's the unity in locking up our own people? Being part of giving what we're doing is giving our people to the white man, saying, here, we don't want them no more. You know?
Right. Right.
Okay, that's fine and dandy. He's an asshole. Give him to the white man. But now, you have a son, and he does the same thing to somebody else. But now, he says, he's your son, it's wrong. You see what I'm saying? There's so much stuff going on, what they did to us, and times have passed by. And right now, last year, 2 years ago, this federal cop, an Indian U.S. Marshal, who busted lots of Indians and sent them up, last year his own son got busted and sent to prison. You know?
Yeah.
So he had to play hardcore and say, well, he had it coming. But at the same time, he was doing the best he could to try and help him out, you know?
Yeah.
But at the end, he had to throw his hands up. But see, he brought that on himself. When we do shit, the future is coming at us. Every mistake we do is going to affect our children. It's going to affect our babies. So why allow them to lock our people up for Rudy Poot stuff?
Yeah.
You know? Why do
yeah.
this? Why open the door for that? You
well,
know?
It's a form of oppression and suppression. And it just continues their own... agenda and dominance.
You know, I really wish our people would understand the law better. so we can better defend our people. Leonard Peltier, it looked like he had some of the best lawyers around defending him. But yet, are they the best, or are they going along? Because why is he still in there? You know, sometimes I think the attorneys are in with the Washichu to really keep him in there. You know? Because if he didn't do something, why can't a good attorney get him out? You know? All the evidence points to it. There's federal judges saying he's innocent.
Right.
There's people around the world saying he's innocent. And those FBI agents that are lying, why don't they lock them up for perjury? Why don't they file charges on these FBI agents? And those ones that are all after Leonard Peltier and Martin, there's a crime. They're committing crimes against the Indian.
Right.
When you lock somebody up, take their freedom from them, that's a crime against humanity. Why ain't these attorneys filing charges on them for that? You know? There's only one country in the world that can get away with locking people up for nothing. That's the United States. And when they're on TV, when Obama and them are on TV, they're all talking about democracy. You hear Clinton talking about democracy and all that. But at the same time, they got people locked up in Guantanamo Bay for no charges, just for hearsay.
And
those are human too.
Democracy for white people.
What's that?
It's only democracy for white folks, especially the male kind of white folks. It's
you
not
know,
democracy
if you, you know, I went to trial and I had attorneys, and I asked an attorney to ask the witness certain questions, and they didn't do it.
Oh.
And then when you get convicted, they just wash their hands and walk the other way. But they didn't do what you wanted them to do. You see.
Yeah.
You know, when they're charging you with shooting somebody, and the gun there chart they have as a evidence isn't really the gun that the guy was shot with. Why are they letting them have it in there? Why don't they prove where the cop got that gun? Because when you know that wasn't a gun. But if you say that you know that wasn't a gun, then you're admitting that there was a gun. You see, that's how they look at it.
Right.
You know? And then they tell you, oh, just admit to it. Look, at this guy was an asshole. Look at all the stores he robbed. Look at all his victims that he beat up and shot. Just tell us you did it. You know? And if you tell him you did it, then they got another charge for you. If you shoot a white man and you're an Indian, you ain't getting out of it. I tell you that. I know from experience. It don't matter how bad that white man is, they're going to lock you up.
Yeah.
And they're going to, you know, if they can, they'll kill you. You know? So I feel really bad for our people that are locked up for stuff they didn't do. I know a young man, he's probably not young anymore, in prison for writing Ronald Reagan a bad letter. Not a bad letter. They called him threatening the president. They gave him 50 years. This Indian was a guy don't belong in prison. A real nice guy raising a family. He just got mad and wrote Ronald Reagan a letter. Not a bad letter. Just said, you know, if you don't do this, this is going to happen. Kind of brought up some hypothetical situations, you know.
You
know, like, if you don't stop this, then you're going to cause your house to blow up. You know, he didn't say that, but, you know, similar stuff like that. If
right.
you don't stop this, this is going to happen. So they took it as threats, and they gave him 50 years. You know, and what's cool about it, his last name was Snow. I really would like to find this guy, but that's all I remember. His last name was Snow. You know, I really wish his family or something. But he wrote, he got mad. He was having a hard life. He was raising a family, had a nice wife and kids, and was trying to live in the white man's world. And he just got mad and wrote President Reagan a letter, you know? And about a month later, 2 months later, the FBI showed up at his house, knocked on the door, and he invited them in, and they talked to him real nice, these FBI agents. And his wife gave him coffee and cookies and kind of fed him, and they sat there and visited with the FBI. The FBI asked him, did you write this letter? He said, yeah, I wrote it. Why'd you write this letter? He told them why. They said, okay, no problem. That's all we wanted to know. And they thanked, the FBI thanked them for the donuts and coffee and blah, blah, this, you know, and they left. So, hey, you're making too much noise now.
Sorry.
Hey, and guess what happened? About a month later, about 4 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden, boom, boom, Windows bus crashed, boom, bang, the SWAT team crashed into his house and they hauled him away in front of his wife and kids.
Oh, wow.
If he was so bad, why didn't they do it when they first went over there? Why did they come and make that kind of big scene? And haul them away, took them to court, and gave them 50 years. That's how the Americans do it.
Yeah.
And that's why we need attorneys. And we need attorneys with the logic, the right logic. You can be the best attorney in the world, but if you don't have the logic to fight the principle, you ain't no good.
Right.
You know, most attorneys will tell you, oh, no, that ain't going to work, you know. And they fight it the way they learned it on the book, you know, case law, this and that. They don't fight things with general human logic. And a lot of people that won cases, they won them because they fought them with human logic of what is right and what is wrong.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the kind of attorneys I would like to see in the future. You know, attorneys that will listen. It's like if you're sick. The doctor don't want to listen to you. You say, man, I'm hurt here, but no, that's just your imagination. Or they check you out and they say, there's nothing wrong with you. Why are you hurt there? You're just making it up. you know?
Yeah.
Or, you know, doctors are good at that. They don't want to listen to what your problem is. You know, I had to go all the way to Russia to get fixed up one time. Because the American doctors didn't want to hear it. Every week they'd say, try something new. And they were telling me I was having carpal tunnel. They said, you got it from playing guitar too much. You know? Well, come find out, I had a vitamin deficiency. You know, simple stuff like vitamin B12, B6, stuff like that. You know? But that's how attorneys are. They don't want to hear you. You're the person that knows. Why don't they listen to you? Why don't they ask the witnesses the questions you ask them to ask them?
I don't know.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, they don't do that. So I'm looking for a group now, hopefully in the future, of attorneys that will help. You know?
Yeah.
That will help the people. And that's what I'm looking for. You know what I mean? So, I hope if you're going to learn law, I hope you remember me saying that.
Oh, I will. Believe me.
You know? Because, you know, there's an attorney. One attorney, there's a lot of Indian attorneys, and it really fires me up how they don't fight for our people. They got all this legal authority to fight in court, and they're not there to help the people. They're shutting down IHS. Where's our attorneys at to stop this? Where's our attorneys to fight for the treaties? Where they at? You know?
Yeah.
The minute IHS walked out and didn't have enough money for emergency, why didn't our attorneys file on them right then and there? You know?
Right.
Why didn't they do that? But see, that's what's happening. We got one attorney running around acting like an activist. Next step, he wants to be a crazy horse. Next step, he wants to, what he does is he wants to run for Congress. We're up there in North Dakota. A while back, he was trying to fight against the pipeline. Now he's for the oil. He's bringing jobs to North Dakota. You know, that's what happens to our attorneys. I tell people, if you hang around someone that likes Cadillacs, pretty soon you can have Cadillacs. The same thing with them. They hang around with the Washichu, they start acting like the Washichu. They forget.
Well, I
they
can
start
tell
wanting
you I'm
to be like them.
I'm not interested,
you know,
in that at all. Yeah.
No. But you understand what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm probably going to be poor all my life because I intend to work low cost and pro bono, so.
Yep. Well, let me tell you this. If you do that, Wakan Tonka will bless you. You don't need no money when Wakan Tonka blesses you. I know people that have his blessings, and they live all right, you know. And, you know, that's the whole thing, you know. So I'm really, you know, I really hope people are out there listening to this radio show to hear what we're discussing right now. And if anybody has any opinions and feelings on that, I wish they would jump in on it, you know? And I'm sure the host will, the co-host will let me know if anything's like that. I'm hoping, you know, we can do that and get something. If somebody else wants to come in, or
I have something to say. Nita's
yeah,
there.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I think that one of the biggest things we have to watch out for, I say this, and I'm from Washington, but it's not just thinking like that we have to beware of. It's the thinking. The thinking like and having the same, developing the same values and beliefs.
Yeah.
That's what we have to watch out for. And when you go to school, it's so rigorous. I think that's the word I want. But what the rigor is you have to think this way. Don't think outside the box. Don't think about any other way of thinking. Only think this narrow way that the law, that we interpret the law as saying.
Right.
And you have to really guard against that and not accept, oh, no, that can't be done. They, you know.
You have to think out of the box.
Well, yeah, and you have to refuse to accept that the thinking is the right way of thinking.
Uh-huh.
Because obviously how we think is not right. I mean, all you have to do is take a quick look at the world, and it becomes obvious that we're really screwed up, and we've screwed the whole planet up. And I say we because I'm Anglo. So, okay.
I don't know. I'll never forget.
There's a million attorneys out there.
I know.
And they make a lot of money for not even serving the purpose. You know? A lot of money. And that's what upsets me about attorneys. And then once they become an attorney, they think they belong in the elite level, you know? And they want you to bow down to them for their expertise, which they have, you know. And that's what gets me about the attorneys, you know. And that's why I'm really hoping in the future that we get some attorneys that fight for Indians that use the right logic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've been having trouble with logic lately, so that's why I'm laughing. I'll get it.
Yeah, well, logic, you know, every language has a logic. And the logic that's most important is common sense logic, you know?
Right. And
I really would like to see people having this special kind of logic, which they don't apply, you know? And it's like when you speak another language, you have logic that goes with that language. American logic is really something. I mean, you know, you look at what Clinton and Obama and all the people are doing right now. all the lying Donald Trumps and all them, how they can use that logic and get away with stuff. Like, here's, okay, Bill Clinton, for example. Yeah, I smoked pot, but I didn't inhale it. That's the American logic, you know. I did not have sex with that girl, you know. When the whole world knew he had one curved to the right, you know. You know what I mean? pretty cold-blooded, huh? Curved to the right. And
I'm sorry, I have no idea what you mean, and I'm kind of glad.
Yeah. Well, one of the key evidences against him was his you-know-what, he was curved to the right. You know? That
oh,
was the evidence.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Boy, you're really caught when they got you down like that. When you're caught like that, you're caught. You know what I mean? You know, can you imagine Hillary Clinton's face? Oh, my God. They got you. You know? You know?
Yeah.
Well, it's really cold-blooded how it is, you know, that they can do that, you know. And you know, I feel bad because our people, we can't get away with that kind of baloney. But they got this logic. It's like their logic of how they can take away people's rights, you know. They can take people's rights away from them, and then just ignore it, you know, like what's going on with Leonard Peltier and stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
I
they
a
have
letter,
a lot of
my,
logic.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I wrote a letter like about a month and a half ago, and I didn't even know the council was coming up, the meeting, and I just knew time was coming up at some point. So I just wrote a letter to President Obama. Very simple. So, no response back, of course.
I mean, the government can do so many crazy things and get away with it. I heard them even talking about it on the radio. One of the guys talking about it on the radio. One of them, forget which one it was. It wasn't. I'll think his name right now. But this guy, they were talking about how they can put you on the no-fly list and how they can refuse people a passport.
Right.
And how they can refuse other people visas from coming over. You know, how the government has a system where you can't challenge and contest certain things in the system. If they put you on the no-fly list, there's no way to fight it. There's no system to fight it. You can buy a ticket and go someplace, spend $1,000 on the ticket, and then they say you're on the no-fly list. There's nothing you can do about it. You know? There is nothing you can do about it.
Hey, man.
So,
this is Tucker.
So, there's so many things like that they have. You know? there's no due process in much of it, and they're allowed to be this way, you know?
Yeah. It's strange to have that hanging over you as a person as you realize that you could just be stuck. And
yep.
It could be anybody, anytime. And it's like, you know, some of the third world countries, but it's done in a controlling way, domineering way.
So if there's 300 million Americans, 320 million Americans, how do 320 million Americans ignore these things? You know?
Because it's easy.
And then each one of them says, I'm not guilty for that. Well, you are guilty for that. Each one of you Americans out there that allow them to, like they were counting on the news, they got a deal right now about the drone attacks and how many innocent people lost in the, you know, got killed in these drone attacks. You know, there's a whole bunch of them. These drone attacks are killing innocent people. And Obama approved all that stuff. You know, there's so much stuff that they're doing, or they did, that there's no excuse for it. Just like us. How do we fight the fact that IHS isn't helping our people anymore? I told IHS, hey, you're violating a treaty law. They said, this ain't in the treaties. They got people that work for IHS that don't know nothing about the treaties. So they don't think they're doing nothing wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We need to work on our sovereignty.
Yeah. Who do we got here on this line?
Tushka.
Oh, all right. Good that you're on.
Yeah, I've been listening for about 45 minutes or so, and I guess I caught the middle of the show.
I'm glad you brought it in because I'm not at the board right now, and I can't see what's going on. So I'm glad that
that's
you
cool.
came in, and it's good. You know, but yeah, let's hear it.
I was listening to you. You know, you guys talk about, you know, all these legal systems and legal problems, and you know, it really comes down to our own sovereignty. You know, doing their laws and stuff like that. Just, you know, we play into their system. You know, if we had our own government, you know, we're supposed to have our own government, but our government is run by their government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's things that need to be done on just like a, you know, just a declaration saying, you know what, you know, we're indigenous people and this is our land and, you know, we have our own rules. Thank you very much, but you know, there's just kind of hard way to go about it. I mean, kind of where it needs to go, you know. Because, you know, the system is, you know, it's all run and bought by money. You know, I mean, whoever's got the money's got the power. Whoever's got the power to make your decision. So, everybody all the time is getting a big fat check somewhere and, you know, making their decisions for us.
Well, you know, they're talking about what's that Brexit and or Dexit or something where England got out of the European Union. Now Texas is saying, well, we're going to do the same thing. Well, you know, all you these people want to do that. Why don't we do it?
Exactly. Annex, you know, to say, hey, you know, we're, you know, as Native people, we are born with dual citizenship. We are part of two nations right now, one to our own nation and one to, you know, United States of America nation. We are born with two identities, basically. And, you know, it's a way for them to keep track of us. You know, it's always been about control. You know, and they don't want to lose that control. So, you know, I know regular everyday citizens who have given up their Social Security card, and they completed some forms or whatever, and they became their own independent person. You know, they, you know, bartered and, you know, went off grid and, you know, just lived in the forest and, all that kind of crazy stuff. You know, if they can do it, you know, why don't our nations do it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, like in a lot of ways, and this is what the U.S. will be scared of next. Texas is thinking about doing that. They wouldn't be scared of Texans doing that, but they'll be scared if we figure out a way to do that. You know?
Yeah.
If we figure out how to do that, then they're going to have a problem. You know? And because why can't we do that? You know, we're only U.S. citizens because they needed us to fight in World War One. You know? And that's
right.
The only reason why. You know? And we're not constitutional citizens of the U.S. So it's really simple. Russell Means had a plan, but everybody thought he was nuts. I think his plan was a plan. You know? I think his plan was a way out. But see, here's what some people did already. Some people said, yeah, I'm going to do that. So they disowned the U.S. government. If you disown the U.S. government, then you ain't going to get no passports. You ain't gonna, before you saw the legs off your chair, you better make sure you have something else to sit on, you know? And that's what we got to have. Our people need to be intelligent. You know, we can't just do something that we can't get out of. We got to make sure that we got it all right. But we can do that. We just got to quit claiming it. But how do we do that? It comes back to the old thing of unity.
Absolutely. When we're all supposed to be together, and maybe that, you know, that will turn the tide, you know. And if we all came under, you know, some Native, you know, declaration saying, hey, you know, this is, you know, we have the right to govern ourselves. You know, we don't need the U.S. government. You know, I mean, in that essence, you could, you know, there's a lot of things that would, you know, suck about that, because you wouldn't get, you know, government funding and all that other kind of stuff. But, you know, it's a start. We are our own people again, because right now we are not our own people. We are owned by the government. That's what that Social Security card is for. It's just a way to keep track of, you know, its chattel. People descend to war. There's so much money in war that they can't stop war, because if they stop going to war, somebody go broke.
Mm-hmm. I was talking about unity earlier. I don't know if you heard me. And people like that. It's unity if we become assimilated with them, then that's unity. Or it's just unity if we join them being Christians. But if we maintain being traditional and trying to maintain our culture, they call us troublemakers.
Yeah. know, they want us to lose our culture. They want us to lose our language. You know, that's all part of their plan, because there are stipulations that come with being a sovereign nation, like Native people, Indigenous. In order to be qualified by that government, you have to, you know, be qualified in certain areas. You know, you've got to have language, you've got to have culture, and you've got to have songs and dances, you know, all your culture intact with your people. And if, you know, all these things that they do is they throw us in jail, they put us in boarding schools, you know, all that stuff, you know, it disrupts the culture. If they disrupt it long enough, you can take away somebody's sovereignty status. If they don't, you know, you guys aren't a tribe anymore. You guys are assimilated. You got to work on people.
Oh, sorry.
So keep their traditions and those languages strong, you know?
Uh-huh.
Spiritually speaking, that's kind of what keeps us as sovereign people, is our spirituality. With our spirituality, we're American.
Uh-huh. Well, I really look forward, and I, like, when you get my age, you know, probably, you know, the other people my age, we don't look beyond 10 more years, you know. We're already accepted the fact, you know. So it's kind of like we're all, you know, we're hoping our children pick up this fight. And like your dad, he's fortunate he has you, you know. And we need,
thank you,
our young people need to take up this fight, but they need to take it up the right way. We don't want them taking up the fight like when they talk about Black Elk Speaks, remember, he had the Holy Rosary in his hand, and he said there's a fork, and they interpreted that we can use it either way, but they didn't interpret him right. You see, he don't speak English.
Yeah.
So they said his son did the interpreting. Well, his son had a whole different logic by that time.
Yeah.
You see, and interprets it different. It's like the word Washitu. If you say Washitu, that means fat takers. When you say Washitu, it means slave takers. You know, there's little bitty things in our language that people can interpret any way they want. And they use it to their advantage. But I don't think nobody interpreted Black Elk the way he meant it. You know, that we're supposed to go that fork of try out the Catholic, the, you know. I know that, you know. You know, and I get upset. It's like my uncle was a World War II vet and all this, and he didn't, to the day he died, he always told me, he don't want nothing to do with the Washitu anymore. He is mad at them. He wouldn't talk to them, so they said he was crazy, and they took away his money and started giving it to a payee. But he wasn't crazy. He just told me, I don't want to talk to him no more. So comes when he dies, somebody says, oh, he wanted to be buried in the cemetery, military cemetery in Sturgis. I said, no, he didn't. But see, they buried him over there, because that other side of the fence that we're fighting, bro, you know, we're fighting our own people with that other logic. And I pray that, you know, like I said, your father is fortunate to have someone like you guys who can take up the fight the way he was doing it. You know, and we need our young people to take up this fight the right way, because we can't fight it being assimilated with that American logic. That American logic is taking us further and further away from our culture.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why And that's why I'm all worried about, you know. That's why I speak the way I do, and people get mad and think I'm nuts or something. I'm just getting desperate. My last 10 years of going.
I appreciate you, man, and you know, I always enjoy your words, and you're a funny guy as well. And but you know, I just want to say thank you for having me on your show. Looks like you're winding down.
Anyway, I'm surprised if I'm winding down. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I am, and I'm really sorry. I wish I knew you was here earlier, because you know, this is one of those radio shows where I'm fortunate to have it. It's the spirit top of me, because I had really technical difficulties, you know, and I'm glad that you popped in, and I always look forward to you or even your father coming in and speaking, because there's always this logic. There's the new AIM logic, and then we have the older AIM logic. And the older AIM logic is the one that I try to preserve and express to our people, because, you know, these young people are using AIM for their name. You know what I mean? Now I'm an AIMster, so I'm a bad dude. But it isn't like that. We're supposed to give AIM the name. We got to keep – our people are the ones who make AIM. We're the ones who, it was people that made the American Indian Movement, our relatives. They didn't do it so they can have a name. They did it to take care of business. All these guys, a lot of them left us, you know?
96 left.
And like I was told, you know, we didn't have to get along as long as we were on the same mission, you know. And I was told that today and by one of the leaders, you know, the big leaders, you know. He says, you know, we don't always have to get along as long as we're on the same journey together, you know. I like that.
My dad would say, when we run out of enemies, then we can fight amongst each other.
that's right, you know. And I'm glad, you know, because that's how it is. But anyway, looks like we're going to have to get ready and roll out of here. And I really thank you for coming in. And thank you, Sherry, for sharing some of your – and hope you do become an attorney. Tushka, did you – You hear what I'm saying about attorneys? We need to get some attorneys that have this right logic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, we're trying to make them.
Yep. So, anyway, with that, we're gonna have to hit the old lonesome highway again, and I hope that many of you enjoyed the show, and thank everybody around the country, around the world, for the American Indian Movement and for this radio show, and hope that some of you go out and try to do a radio show yourself and share, bring more awareness. Okay? With that, we'll take off then. Go shout care, everybody. And have
thank
a good
everybody.
Time out
good
there.
Thank
and,
you.
Go shout.
Go shout care.
Train going in from Fargo.